Hi, my name is Gunnar Froh and I'm your host on the Wunder Mobility podcast. All right, welcome back to the Wunder Mobility podcast. Today I'm with Zhang Wei. And we have not met in person before, but I read about you many times and also your company, of course. Your company is NIO, the car company. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Gunnar. Thank you for having me today.
And NIO has seen a very meteoric rise in terms of recognition in the West, in terms of market cap also since last year. You're a premium electric car company headquartered in China, but with offices and teams also in California, also in Germany, in Munich. Can you give us a bit of an overview quickly of who the company is today and what you're building?
Right, Gunnar, thanks for the introduction. NIO was founded 2014, and NIO is founded being a user enterprise based on smart EV as a platform. And NIO started from the very beginning as a global startup. As you mentioned, we have worldwide footprint in China with a headquarter and also in Europe with a two locations, one in Munich, serving as a global design headquarter and also the European headquarter. Plus, we have an advanced engineering center based in Oxford. And in the Silicon Valley, we have an organization since 2016 focusing on the software architecture development and also autonomous driving technology. And NIO started with really zero ground 2014, and just 3 years, 3.5 years after the foundation, we could launch our first mass production car, that is ES8, end of 2017, which started to delivery in 2018. And since September 2018, NIO started to be listed in the New York Stock Exchange. And NIO's purpose is never being another car company. The vision of the company is to build up a user enterprise.
The company's been founded not even 7 years ago. And after you said 3.5 years, you launched a first car. They are now also available in Europe. I believe only a few days ago, you had a launch event in Norway. Maybe interesting later on to talk about why Norway, but it's very much on the forefront of electric vehicles. And you have now a range of vehicles, premium sedans, SUVs, and the company has really shot up in valuation and recognition in the last, let's say, 14 months, I think. And today, you said listed in New York, has a market cap bigger than Daimler. How is that possible?
I think, Gunnar, we're talking about two different things, if I may. One thing is about the capital, market capitalization, what you're talking about. On that topic, I think as a company, we don't really comment too much. It's about how the capital market look at into the company. And as far as my understanding accordingly, it's really about the future and the future potential of the company, how the capital market really makes the so-called capitalization for a single company. And they are buying basically what would be the future. And if I talk about the NIO itself, as I mentioned, we started November 2014 really with less than 30, 50 people and in a garage in Shanghai city. And then we are now about over 9,000 employees worldwide, as I said. Of course, pretty mainly in China and in the Chinese market, but also in the other locations worldwide. And we could, we are selling right now already three mass production vehicles. One is the ES8, is a 7-seater big SUV. And also the second is the top seller in its segment for the BEV SUV in the Chinese market. It's called ES6. And the third one is SUV coupe, we call it EC6. All those three cars are selling quite well in the premium segment, and we could until end of the April already totally sold 100,000 cars. And by the way, the cars is with a higher average MSRP selling price. Our ASP in Chinese market last year was about $20,000 higher than the ASP of Tesla. So NIO is the only Chinese brand in the premium segment for BEV market.
That's very fascinating. And can you speak a little bit about the European launch? How are you planning to roll out? What are you going to do differently maybe from other car companies, also in terms of dealerships and reaching clients?
Yeah, let me split your question into two parts. One is overall the timing plan coming to the European market. As you mentioned, last Thursday, we had the press conference about our Norwegian strategy with a worldwide announcement as the first time. And we will deliver our first vehicle to the Norwegian customer in September this year. And about the other market, we also announced last week with an interview of our founder and chairman that we will come to German market next year. And also together with the German market, we are planning the other four markets. That means next year, there's five European countries on top of a Norwegian market where we want to start to serve our customers. So this is about the timing plan. The second is about the business concept, how we want to launch or serve our customer or our user in European market. If you may, I would step back first talking about the so-called NIO ecosystem overall. So in, as I said, NIO never want to be another car company. We want to be a user enterprise. So that's why on the, if I may describe the ecosystem as a house, we have the roof as a user enterprise. And we have the house has five pillars mainly as the main element consisting of our ecosystem. That's you start with a smart EV with the FOTA, with ADAS or the AD capability. And secondly is our power solution, including from home charger to supercharger, DC charger. And last not the least is our unique selling point, the NIO Swap Station plus the bus as a business model. And the third one is our service infrastructure. We are serving in China with our own service center, also partner service center, plus our service mobile. And we are enjoying one of the best NPI, the Net Promotion Index of the Chinese market last year, over 54%, meaning every second car we are selling in Chinese market are through word of mouth recommendation. And the fourth pillar is our point of sales, because we are not working with importer, distributor, or retailer. Instead, NIO is building up our own point of sales all over China first. What we will do also in Europe, first starting in Norway. That includes two kind of formats. One, we call it NIO House, is more a kind of a meeting venue where we meet our user, our friends, and the partners. It's offering not only showroom, but also a NIO cafe, a library, a WeWork place, but also a so-called drawing camp, like a kinder playground, the kids playground, and also a forum where we can host or help our user organize and host all of the activities they want to share with their other user or their friends like-minded. And last not the least of the column is our so-called NIO community. This is the most important part overall. And we are, for example, organizing since 2017, already our so-called NIO Day is an annual user party, which is organized and facilitated by NIO, but mainly directed and initiated by our user. Like last year in China, our user made the decision where the NIO Day should take place. And secondly, we have like a NIO Radio, like you guys, where we are producing our content for our user, which have a penetration rate among our user over 90%. and we have a new life. It's more than a merchandising. I give you figures, how strong the new life is, a connection between the new brand and the user. We have sold 100,000 cars, as I mentioned, until end of April, but mm-hmm. we have sold over 3 million items of new life, starting mm-hmm. from food cookies until, of course, the suitcase. And New Life are working from the very beginning with an international well-known designer like Tom Dixon. And also, like we announced last week, we are working with two local Norwegian designers who will create Norwegian-style New Life items for our user all over the world, actually. I can tell you, we create a t-shirt for our launch in Norway, and they just sold out in the first 20 minutes by all the users all over the world, mainly in China, I can tell you. And we have also so-called C's talk, like text speech, and we invited the celebrities and also guys like you from the different industry, share your insight views and your visions with our user. And last not the least is the user trustee fund, which was established shortly after the new IPO in 2019, for which our chairman donated 50 million of his shares to this trustee fund. And that's built up basically all those of the new community. Of course, we have a lot of user activities like a new summer or some other activities just organized by new and our user together. And the foundation of the ecosystem house, the new app and the new clouds. New app is with 1.4 million downloads and over 200,000 active daily user, which is the major channels connecting the brand new and our users. So this is if we understand the new ecosystem house, and we can understand how we gonna launch in the European market, what we have demonstrated last Thursday. So we will have our new house is already under construction right now in Oslo, just several hundred meters to the Royal Castle. And we have our new service center will be opened in the summertime. And we have our new app will be launched for our user. And we have, of course, our battery swap station. And only this year, we will have 4 battery swap stations open up in the great Oslo area. And further on next year, we will also open up some furthermore battery swap stations in the major cities in Norway. And of course, we started with our community work. We also have announced to start with a new advisory board campaign, for which we are asking and inviting our user in Norway to join as a part of the advisory board. So that is pretty much explains how the business model will look like in the European market, starting in Norway.
Very fascinating. Thanks a lot for walking us through this. You said initially we are not another electric car company, not even another premium electric car company. And everybody thinks, okay, what exactly does it mean? Because mostly you're known for the cars, but now I understand a little bit better that your strategy has these 5 pillars. So beyond cars, the power solutions, the service infrastructure where you want to really stand out, your own point of sale that are somehow like a community hub also, maybe integrate with a co-working partner, and then the community aspects that include content also that you're producing. How does your, it seems like this is all enabling individual electric mobility with a premium vehicle. You still believe that people are mostly maybe going, at least in this segment, going to buy and own vehicles, travel in their own unique vehicle. Are you going to extend into other forms of travel somehow, or are your users going to have advantages when they leave their city? They have to leave their car behind, maybe travel to another destination. Are you going to integrate with other forms of travel, or is that mainly right now for when you are in the place where your own car is?
I think coming back to the ownership experience, we believe this still will be on in the long term in the future, because owning a premium product is always a kind of, I'm not saying everybody's dream, but this kind of psychological feeling, we believe, will be for the long term. And secondly, in terms of the new business model, whether we will have also the other form to enable our users to have driving the new vehicles. We are working on that, in fact. Mm-hmm. So far, we have only serving the Chinese user in the Chinese market. But in terms of the user benefit and in terms of the user experience, we definitely will want to offer a global experience for our user. For example, any of the user in the future from Germany, if he or she travel to China, how he or she can still drive a NIO or other way around for our user from China coming to European continent. And there's many ways I think you can explore, like car rental, also like some other possibilities. But for a premium brand, NIO still believe in the ownership experience. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned as one of the columns the power solutions, and you quickly mentioned swapping stations, also the plan to have some swapping stations in the Oslo area soon. And the NIO manager in Norway around the launch said something like, today EV drivers use their cars very much like internal combustion engine vehicles, but I'm convinced that NIO's smart EVs can change and we will use our vehicles more intelligently. What does he mean? Does that refer to being able to swap at these swapping stations? Or what would a more intelligent use of electric vehicles look like? What do we have to change compared to combustion engines?
I think as Marcus Heider is the guy, our general manager in Norway, said last Thursday about the users still pretty much on the same pattern, like using the combustion engine, mm-hmm. it means in different perspective. One of the perspective, as I just described, how NIO will build up the community, this feeling. So as I mm-hmm. said, NIO is about starting with an electrical EV, but building up a community where we will share the joy and grow together. So this is actually what the founder wants to achieve. Like I mentioned, it's a vision of the company. And with all those things, of course, NIO is already different, differentiating from the other combustion engine OEMs, the car makers. And secondly, what he means is definitely in connection with our battery swap station, what we are offering in Chinese market, we call it a BaaS, battery as a service. I mean, you guys is mm-hmm. actually a kind of a SaaS, a software as a service. Mm-hmm. You know, we introduced a BaaS as a business model since last summer in Chinese market. And so far, we have over 50% take rate of the new car sales. That means every second new car user in Chinese market will choose to use a BaaS instead of purchasing the battery pack.
So that means, does that mean that the purchase price for the car is basically lower because you don't own the battery that's included, but then you have a monthly payment from there on out while you use it? So
We don't have the price announced for the European market. What I can name you is what is the roughly price level in Chinese market. In China, if you choose a 70 kilowatt battery pack for any of the new vehicle and using the BaaS, the purchasing price will be reduced immediately about 70,000 RMB. So it's roughly 9,000 euro. Mm. And as you mentioned, one of the biggest benefits for the user is lower the entry level owning a premium EV and smart EV. And secondly, is of course increase clearly the residual value of the vehicle, because the EV residual value nowadays heavily impacted by the battery pack. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, is how we can help our user to upgrade their usage of on demand What that means, meaning if you are just purchase a car for within the city commute, you don't need to buy a big battery pack only because of the range accessory. Instead, with a bus, you can have a monthly upgrade, either for 1 month or 2 months for your summer holiday. You just simply drive your car, go into the next battery swap station, and having a 150 kilowatt battery pack with a much higher range for your summer holiday or winter holiday, whatever it should be, and by paying a small upgrade price, right? And in China, if you use a 70 kilowatt, the monthly fee is about 130 euro.
Interesting. So, never.
Yeah, that's why that's with a bus. It's basically we are the first company enable our user, the car can be chargeable, can be swappable, but also can be upgradable. And how much contribution you can do that for the sustainability, because not every customer need to buy a big battery pack only because he needs just 1 or 2 years a year for a long journey trip, right?
Mm. You mentioned
so
a lot.
That is the second very big differentiation, what our Marcus Heiler meant on last Thursday, mm-hmm. about how we differentiate. So we are differentiating not only to the combustion engine, but also to the other electrical car makers with a bus, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Very much, yeah. You mentioned this community that the company wants to build and a feeling to create amongst its users. And you said that's different from what most current OEMs achieve. Do you sometimes draw analogies from other industries, or what are other brands, if you can say so, if that's like not, that you would admire that have achieved something like this? So like, what direction are you orienting towards if you can't find the analogies within your industry? What's an industry that has done this better?
Honestly to say, it's not really about me. It's really about our founder, why he established this company at all, and what he wants to achieve as ultimate mission and vision of the company. So that's why we did look at around within the automobile industry, but we are really looking more around or outside the automobile industry. So we look at how it could be developed finally. I just want to take a quote from our chairman during the Shanghai Motor Show. So he did mention about Apple. So we believe there's competitors in the industry, but we believe Apple could be really big game changer and transforming the entire industry.
Mm-hmm. And you see the approach that they use to drive user satisfaction, the loyalty that they have from their users, the brand following and so on, as examples, what you are also creating in mobility.
Yeah, I think it's about, as I mentioned, the entire ecosystem. Yeah, it's not only about you're offering a car. You know, in the today's traditional automobile industry, especially if you look at the sales and service structure, is basically cut it into the different pieces, right? Mm-hmm. And the NIO, as I'm just described, is offering alongside the entire value chain. So starting from the product definition, the car design, until the POL, the product end of the life cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? And alongside the whole value chain, NIO is there with our users. And also besides a bus, we also announced January this year with the AD as a service. So you can basically purchase it on a monthly basis of the AD services.
And the AAD?
Autonomous driving.
Ah, okay. What's your vision into that? So what level are you currently driving at in China, and how do you see that evolve?
Yeah, I mean, about the AD, if I talk about the technology roadmap, Neo decided from the very beginning as we founded the company to make in-house capability installed. So that's actually where we spent all the capital we raised, one of the area in the product development. So that's why we have a team established in San Jose in summer 2016. And we have also a team in China, in Beijing, and in Shanghai with autonomous driving and ADAS development. And the most recently launch of our first sedan ET7, NIO demonstrate actually the roadmap for our AD technology, meaning 2022, we will have, or actually this year, we will have our level 4 AD equipped in the ET7 with over 33 sensor and camera unit and with a LiDAR installed as well.
All of this is coming very quickly within a few years and from a still relatively small team. So you went from basically nothing or like 30, 40 people you mentioned in 2014 to now about 9,000. And yet when you break all these areas down, the individual teams must be relatively small. The responsibility on every person must be very high. What's the most difficult area, the most risky area at the moment? If NIO should fall behind its plan, what's probably going to be the reason? Where's the most risk at the moment?
I mean, you mean overall in the corporate or in the technology-wise?
In the plan to your sales figures for the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Overall, our chairman defined the company history in the different phases. So until 2019, we said from 2014 to 19, we call it phase one in the company history, formation of the team. Mm-hmm. So basically, during this period, we try to really establish function for function, team by team, and also city by city, including the sales and service network, our entire team. And so far, until 2019, we believe we had established pretty much the structure. And starting from 2019 until the 2023, the chairman defined as a so-called qualification phase. Or even probably he correct last time, I think it's until 2025. Yeah, he means with a qualification phase, meaning yeah, we could enter into the industry field, but we need to really qualify ourselves to be able to stay in the industry and in the competition for long run. So that's why he means 2025, we will see basically the shape and the business model in the new AD ages, the autonomous driving ages, with all the players, also including the new big giant coming into the competition like Apple. So we will see, okay, what we believe, he believes until then, the automotive industry with this wave of smart EV will pretty much have a clear indication of what will be the long-term competition look like.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And so then from 2025 forward, it's about the competition in the new form and the business concept of the autonomous driving EV, right? So it's about, it's not from me, it's from our chairman, how he looked into the industry.
Very interesting. So you said from the founding 2014, there was a time phase called phase one, the formation of team until 2019.
Yes.
And now you're in a phase that's called internally the qualification phase.
Yes.
Being able to show until 2025. And you basically, if I understand correctly, you're assuming that the industry dynamics will really change a lot in the coming years. So it's still to be seen what everything looks like then and will NIO be able to compete. And afterwards, it's competition in the new form.
Yeah.
So you basically really expect that the industry will if I understand correctly, look much different in, let's say, 4 years, 25, than it did 4 years ago. You expect much more change to come.
Right. That is why we decided at the very beginning to put the money, put the capital into our in-house technology capacity development. Besides the entire autonomous driving technology, we also developed in-house our drivetrain system. So like a BMS, even cooling system, and even the beginning of our electrical motors by ourselves. NIO with the ES8, for example, was the first premium BEV SUV equipped with inductive magnet electrical motors at that time.
You mentioned several times that possibly Apple will enter the space as a premium EV manufacturer, of course, seeking autonomy, but no one knows if at what level they will be able to do it. And you're, if I understand correctly, you are much more orienting around what you imagine they will do in this space than what you currently see current incumbents do or premium manufacturers at the moment do. You're referencing to what Apple does in community, for example, and in their points of sales, in their service infrastructure. And that's what you think will really influence the industry in a few years rather than what people do at the moment.
I think, Gunnar, one of the key message from our chairman's observation or his long-term strategic thinking is based on the mobile internet age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because with the mobile internet, the society and the patterns, how we are living, is changing, right? And just should be changed also quite much if you look at even in 5 years. Mm. Yeah, well, that's why if you look at also the other industry, I mean, that will be my observation. Everybody is trying to make themselves adjusted to the big trends in the entire planet. Yeah, this is AI, this is big data, this is also autonomous drive. I mean, if we just look at either it's a passenger vehicle or a commercial vehicle, even probably earlier with a commercial vehicle, with the trucks, with autonomous driving compared to the passenger vehicles, and with big data, AI, and with all this future technology or new technology, how we live, how we commute, communicate, how we interact with each other will be changed or is changing now.
Very interesting. And when you say, when you talk about how our commute changes, how our travel time changes and your own ambitions for autonomous driving, then I was inevitably thinking about the community pillar of your house again, basically where you already gave some examples how content gets produced.
Yeah,
and probably that's not just a marketing spend, but eventually also maybe a revenue source.
I mean, I won't really comment on that, whether it's a revenue source or not. But as I mentioned, what we are doing now are serving mainly one purpose. It's the user enterprise, right? And, it's just like you make the infrastructure project. First of all, you have to make your channels, right? Everything done. And the water flows automatically later on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And according to the Chinese philosophy, sometimes we say the water, I mean, that's a Chinese philosophy, means in some perspective is wealth, mm-hmm. right? So that's why, I mean, to be honest, our chairman used to comment in the several interview already, we are not aiming to earn money right now from our service, from our community, right? So this is really about how we want to connect the brand, how we make a so-called joyful lifestyle for our user, and in different aspects around their life.
That's very interesting because when I made an assumption when I asked you about what could go wrong in hitting some targets, and I assume your target is probably units delivered or units sold. also for Tesla was somehow a lot in the focus right now to really ramp up the number of units produced and then also show what break-even could look like and so on. that you're probably tracking, in addition, then also engagement of people, or how would you measure this aspect of how well your infrastructure works? Because it can't just be cars delivered. You need somehow people engaged with the brand in order to basically differentiate, but also use other services in the future. Do you somehow, what are your guiding metrics for this current phase of qualification? I assume it's not just cars delivered then.
If you look at the traditional value chain, by having an importer or distributor or retailer, how much margin you have to spend on that, right? And instead, we just made this investment by ourselves, right? I mean, there's the margin in between from the car maker, today's car maker, to the end user. But if you look at how much headache this current system created for the user, and how much confusion is caused, that is one of the starting points, how NIO was established, as I said, right? We look at really 2000, the chairman started to think about this, a big idea, back 2012. And he made his action in 2014 as he and his wife were expecting the first kids, right? And by looking into the very bad polluted smoke in Peking where they lived at that time. And he thought that's the time he want to do something to make the world better. And he want to also obviously feel that is his mission, to make that for his kids and the next generations, right? And this is one of the starting point. And the other point was actually the productivity loss because traffic, because without autonomous driving, so we cannot get over the better use of the time during the traffic time. And of course, there's also one of the terrible user experience as I just described with today's system. And we normally say the peak owning a car was really at the moment when you do your payment, right? And you felt like a king, but afterwards you have to deal with different players from the different industry. And instead, NIO is just taking over those headache with us and trying to offer very free and hassle-free after-sales service and the user experience for the user. And owning a car should become another pleasant journey instead of a headache.
Fascinating. I mean, I think many people can relate to what you just said. You're treated like a king when you maybe pick up a car and then afterwards it's a lot of headache associated. Very interesting. You started out introducing NIO as not another premium EV company. Instead, you described how NIO is building a community and trying to create a feeling, a lifestyle brand that you have a hard time almost finding examples for in the current industry. You're more looking also to other industries to get inspired, especially you mentioned Apple several times. Of course, they are also expected to enter the space, and you basically divided the times in which you're thinking into some different areas and said now is the qualification phase because the industry will change so much and we will see in a few years, maybe by 2025, who's even still qualified to play anymore. And you basically describe the pillars of the NIO strategy house that has the foundation of like a fully mobile experience. 200,000 daily active users, by the way. I'm not sure how many are on the Mercedes Me app, for example. We have to find out, but maybe maybe less. And some of the pillars, a little bit obvious, but some not at all, not counterintuitive today for a car brand to expect to come from a car brand with the content and the physical spaces that you can also use as a user. And yeah, it's a fascinating story. Thanks a lot for in this very busy time, I'm sure. If you achieved so much with so few people, you must be extremely busy. But thanks a lot for taking an hour out of your day today and talking to us about this journey. It's really fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you, Gunnar, having me. And thank you for your time. Of course, all the best for your company as well.
Thank you.
All right.